The lure of money is so captivating that when the Powerball hits a big amount, some Christians are tempted to wear camouflage and sneak into the lottery line.
Hello and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Grace Christian Assembly, formerly Germantown Christian Assembly, in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. This evening, we will hear the second part of Pastor Brian Grant's message, detailing five very practical principles taken directly from God's Word, the Bible, when escaping the financial traps of the devil and building wealth God's way, becoming a blessing to yourself and your family, and creating transgenerational wealth in a way that will bless your descendants, teaching them by example to honor God with their resources, obeying Him and trusting in Him alone. Here again is Pastor Grant with Building Generational Wealth God's Way.
Here's the third thing I want you to put down in your notes. We must thoughtfully practice budgeting. Let me put on the screen Proverbs chapter 21, verse 5 in the New Living Translation. And here's what it says. Good planning and hard work lead to prosperity, but hasty shortcuts lead to what? Good planning and hard work lead to prosperity. You notice the word work is in there too, all right? Good planning, so there's need for planning. Don't just live a hiram skiram. Is that a good word? Do you know that word, Brother Darrell? Hiram skiram, is that an American word? Okay. All right, sometimes I'm not sure which are the American ones and the Caribbean ones. So you don't just live a hiram skiram life. Good planning. If you fail to plan, you are planning to fail. If you fail to plan, teenagers, you hear that? If you fail to plan, you are planning to fail. All right, good planning and hard work lead to prosperity, but hasty shortcuts lead to poverty. Building generational wealth requires planning, and using a budget is central to making sure you don't spend more than you take in. Forget this. If your outflow is greater than your intake, then your upkeep will be your downfall. You got it? If your outflow is greater than your intake, your upkeep is going to be your downfall. When we fail to plan, we're planning to fail. You know, I've met people who always check to see how much money is in the bank before they write a check. You ever seen anyone do that? I literally see it. They'll call the bank or go and think and like to see how much money they have in the bank. And then they're, oh, I have money. Boom, boom, boom. What's the problem with that? They have no idea how many checks are outstanding because they've been doing all along just calling the bank to see what's there, okay? And if there's money in the bank, I can write a check. And then, of course, one day all the checks arrive at the bank the same day. And you know what starts to happen at that time? Everything arrives. And every check, the rubber checks start bouncing like a rubber ball. And guess what happens next? Oh, yes. The bank manager has a party because they are going to kill you with fees. You may never recover from those fees because one fee adds to another fee and another fee. Listen, the only entity in this country who can survive without balancing their budget is the government. Because why? They can raise their taxes on us without no mercy, all right? They can just raise the taxes constantly. But if you and I, You better balance that budget. You better make sure everything is in order, or the little that you do have. That really pains my heart sometimes when I see somebody. They're struggling, and so much of their money goes to fees. I almost want to cry. I am just brave for their sake. But I really want to cry because they have incurred so many fees and they had so little to start with. But it all happened because they're not exercising the discipline they needed to exercise. And so listen, our seminar, if you're saying, you know, we have never ever done budgeting before, all that we can get into, because we don't have to just have one session. If you need help with budgeting, we have other financial professionals in this church, and we can help you. So let us help you as best we can. Here's the fourth thing we need to look at. We must save and invest and avoid gambling and get-rich-quick schemes. Turn with me, if you would, to 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 6 to 10. Now godliness, verse 6 of 1 Timothy 6, godliness with what? Godliness with contentment is great gain. Oh, we could stop there for a moment and preach a message just on that, but that's not the message for today. But oh, would God help us that we may not only be godly, but be content. Part of our problem is sometimes we are not content. And we want to have, you know, the advertisers know we're not easily contented. So they're bombarding us with stuff that we could get. And then what do? We use the plastic. We use the plastic to get all this stuff, hoping for more contentment. But listen, that's not the part to contentment, because I guarantee you, when the bills start coming, instead of the blood pressure going down, it's going to go up. Godliness with contentment is great gain. Verse 7, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. Verse number 9, but those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and to many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. My title today is Building Generational Wealth God's Way. But in these verses, God warns us that those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and harmful lusts. But despite God's clear warning, the lure of money is so captivating. Are you still awake? The lure of money is so captivating that when the Powerball hits a big amount, some Christians are tempted to wear camouflage and sneak into the lottery line. The lottery is not God's way. God's way is work and invest. Work, save, invest, amen, and trust God to multiply your resources, amen. And if you're a gambler, give it up. And the devil has taken it right inside the house now. What is that thing on TV now? Yeah, I don't even remember the name of that advertisement. You know, there's so much gambling on the, I don't remember the name of the thing. DraftKings! The brother over here is trying to say, please, no, I'm not using it. I'm just telling you the name. I see the thing. I see it myself. And every time I see it, I said, oh God, look at what they are doing. They have come into our homes and they are going to make more of us poor. They're going to enrich a few. And more of us are going to be poor because we are hoping. The devil is making us believe that that is the way to prosperity. And God, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, he has given us the path. And I pray that today we may get serious and that we may really have a desire to change our way so that we may see the blessing of God. That this 40,000, 44,000 average wealth of families like ours will change. Because we can blame it all we want on the society. There is absolutely no reason why more than 50% of us should only have $44,000. But on top of the gambling, more and more get-rich-quick schemes. The get-rich-quick schemes are catching on. And sadly, they're creeping into the church. But friends, we must build generational wealth God's way, not with these get-rich-quick schemes. So instead of pursuing gambling and get-rich-quick schemes, we must work. We must save. We must invest. And we must trust the Lord to bless us. You know, in Deuteronomy 8:18, the Lord told his people, you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth. Add that to your notes. Deuteronomy 8:18. It is he who gives you the power to get wealth. So let's stop getting sucked in by all these schemes. But before I go to my final point, I just want to give you some free advice, okay? If you have friends or family members who end up having a child between January 1, 2025 and December 31, 2028, encourage them to take advantage of the free $1,000 the government is willing to deposit into a Trump account. Oh, some of you don't like the name Trump. But seize the $1,000. It's free. I worked it out last night. No, let me just give you a quick principle here. We'll develop this when you come to the seminar. There's a thing called the rule of 72. You ever heard of the rule of 72? The rule of 72 says interest rate multiplied by time. When the interest rate multiplied by time equals 72, money doubles according to the rule of 72. So if you earn 3% on the savings account of the bank, it will take 24 years for the money to double. You got that? 3 times 24 equals 72. So if you put that $1,000 into the bank, which we like to do because mommy and grandmommy said, the best place to save is the bank. Well, I tell you right now, it ain't going to be more than $2,000 in 24 years. On the other hand, if you put it in the S&P 500, which averages about 12%, it will double every what? 6 years. 12 times 6 equals 72, the rule of 72. So 1,000 in 6 years will be what? 2,000. In 12 years, it would be 4,000. In 8 years, it would be 16,000. In, where was I? I said, eight years? Here's the bottom line. I lost track of my math. In 24 years, if that money was invested in the S&P, that $1,000 would likely be about $60,000. Whereas if you put it in the bank, it wouldn't even have gone to 2,000. Are you following me? This is one of the reasons we have to change the way we need to Instead of saying, oh, I love my bank book, I love my bank book. We know the Bible talks about investing. We have to invest. Okay, I'm moving on. Here's the fifth and final point. We must seek God's favor. We must seek God's favor. Matthew 6:33 says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So add this to your notes. It is amazing what God will do when we consciously decide to put him first in our lives. Oh, we've talked about financial things, but the underwriting principle of all we have said is this. We must seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. When we put God first, it is amazing what God will do. As I was preparing the message, I was filled with joy as I reflected on how privileged I was to have had a dad who chose to put God first in his life. My dad had little or no connection with his dad. And in fact, very frankly, the first time, this may surprise some of you, the first time I can remember hearing my grandfather's name is when we filed for a copy of my dad's birth certificate after he had died. Prior to that, I had no idea the name of my grandfather. As a result of the fact that his father was a hit-and-run father, you understand what I'm talking about? My dad had very, very little education. And in his late teens, he made money loading trucks with fruit. But one day, he was gloriously saved. And after that, his life was never the same again. For he was determined to put God first in his life. I hope somebody, some young man, some young lady is listening. Because sometimes we make it seem because the deck is stacked against us, we can do nothing. Listen, the deck was so stacked against my dad. There was no mother involved by then. She's gone. His father is running the streets just making as much babies as he can. My dad got saved. Well, he was serious about his faith. And he decided he needed an education. And since it was very hard for a young man in his late teens, and a black young man in Jamaica, of course, we are under the same colonial rule, and some people did not have access to education. And particularly at that age, he had already dropped out of school. So to get further education, my dad moved to Kingston. And, you know, he never told me this. Some of these stories I actually got from people in our church. Somehow my dad never wanted us to believe the struggle he had. He just wanted to trust God and let God work in our lives without feeling sorry for him. But the ladies in the church told me that when my dad came to Kingston, he was living on their bridge as he did his best to get some sort of an education. But you know, amazingly, God caused him to be homeless and to be penniless because of what God would eventually use him to do. Little did we know that my dad was the one that God would call to start a church in Trenchtown, which perhaps was the poorest and most dangerous neighborhood in Kingston. And so I praise God. That's where we got our... that's where we were first involved in ministry, in Trenchtown, trying to help out as best we could. You know, it was a dangerous neighborhood. I've told you that before. I told you how I've been held up at gunpoint a couple of times, just simply trying to share the gospel on the street. Listen, despite my dad's late start, God's favor rested on him. We never wanted for anything. No, by the time my dad was sick and my mom was sick, we never inherited $1 from them. But we lived a very comfortable life. And God used him to be a blessing all over the place. God's favor rested on him and blessed him with 3 sons, all of whom know Jesus and have served Jesus. Let me say this to you. Leaving a financial legacy for your children is a wonderful thing to do. But the greatest generational wealth we can leave them is to model for them and to help them see the beauty of Jesus and the unsurpassable riches they can have in Christ. Today, I am so grateful that my dad modeled for me what it meant to walk with Jesus, what it meant to trust Jesus, what it meant to serve him, whether we have something in our pocket or not. And my friend, I want to challenge all of you. Some are parents, and some of you are not. You're teenagers, you're younger than teens. And today I'm going to call on every one of you. Listen, it makes a difference when you commit your life to God and make a decision to walk with him and to serve him. Listen, he will not only bless you personally, he will use you to be a blessing, to bless the world. But it all starts with a personal decision. And I want to ask you, do you know Jesus? Come on, young man. Come on, young lady. Is Jesus Christ your Savior? If he's not your Savior, you need to receive him today. And if you know him as Savior, you need to make a total commitment to him. God, I'm going to serve you and I'm going to go your way. I'm going to put aside my bright ideas because God, your word. Listen, isn't it amazing how much practical information is in this Bible? God, I am going to, by your grace, I am going to seek to grow generational wealth God's way. Enough of my way. It's your way. I'm coming your way. And today I give you everything I am and everything I have. Will you do that? Father, I pray that by your Spirit you may work in every heart. For the person who needs salvation or to rededicate their lives to you today, I pray you may help them to do that. Because God, unless they're walking with you, they're not going to have a desire to obey your word when it comes to their finances. So, Lord, we'll work in hearts first. But then, Lord, I pray that even those of us who are walking with you may choose to adopt and apply the wisdom from your word. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and he will answer your prayer and he will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-242-5550 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for online worship this Sunday at 10 o'clock a.m. at livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. It would be a pleasure to have you as part of our online audience. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.